The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
Listen, a bit of a serious subject because this has gone on for years, really, this debate.
Yes.
It's gone backwards and forwards and... I think, you know, I've listened to interviews with Frank Warren and people like that about this.
Yeah.
A Russian boxer, Maxim Dadashev, has died at the age of 28. He suffered severe brain damage after a loss last Friday. Footage shows an argument about ending the fight between a boxer and a trainer before retiring after the 11th round. Now, look. There has been lots of boxers die over the years.
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's... I'll just tell you a story. Look, we've had the brain hemorrhages, you know, with the blood clots on the brain and stuff like that, okay?
Yep.
Now, I do remember years and years ago, I got quite heavily involved with... I was training with...
With Darren Westover.
With Darren Westover, who signed to Mickey Duff. And so I sort of used to go training in the daytime at Mickey Duff. In fact, there's a Lonsdale gym... at Carnaby Street, and I used to go there in the day and I'd have a little train with them, and there was a lot of pro fighters. Now, there was a great fighter, a middleweight fighter called Rod Douglas,
yeah.
Okay, and he became one of our mates, and Mickey Duff gave us a job in the daytime. We used to do a bit of painting and decorating. It's a really funny story. But
Cowboys, were you?
We were terrible. but Rod Douglas was actually quite good. So there was Rod Douglas and his brother Herbie and myself and Darren Westover. And then I'd go and watch them train.
Yeah.
Now, Rod had gone to the Olympics. He was a very good amateur fighter. I think he won the ABAs.
Right.
He had beaten Nigel Benn as an amateur.
Yes.
Okay, so you know he's a good fighter. And I used to go and watch Rod train at the Lonsdale gym, and Chris Eubank would come up to spar with Rod.
Yes.
And Mickey Duff would give... Eubank £13 for his train fare up from Brighton to London.
Yeah,
I always remember it. Just thinking, I remember him saying, "Have you got me money for me fare?" He didn't have the money to come up and train. Whereas Rod was the big name then.
Yes.
Chris Eubank was an unknown, and Rod was training to fight Errol Graham for the British title.
Right.
Okay. And I was all part of that, and watching Rod spar with various people, and it was great. And then the night they fought at Wembley Arena.
Yeah.
And Darren Westover was on the undercard as a heavyweight.
Right.
And the big fight was Errol Graham against Rod Douglas for the British title. And it was not a brutal fight. It was, you know, Rod Douglas was a strong middleweight.
Yeah.
It wasn't a brutal fight at all. Errol Graham, I don't know if you remember him, but he was a bit of a defensive fighter. You couldn't catch him. He was a bit like Nassim Hamid. He would duck and dive. He wasn't powerful. He was just a good counter-puncher. You'd go for him, and on the way out, he would hit with a couple of jabs. And after the fight, we were going to have a party at Rod Douglas's house. Either way, whether he won or lost.
Right.
He actually lost. He lost the fight.
Right.
Okay, he was very upset. And we're going to go back to his... And he collapsed after the fight.
Mm.
And he had a blood clot on the brain. Okay? Now, that wasn't a brutal fight. There was no way that anybody should have said, "Oh, he got stopped. This, he's getting beaten up."
No, but it obviously, you know,
something had happened.
Something had happened that triggered the hemorrhage.
Yeah, and so he had the blood clot. Luckily, he survived. He was in hospital for about a week, and he survived. He was all, you know, panicking. But that was possibly accumulation of training getting hit in the head a lot of times. Yeah. It wasn't one blow.
Yes.
I'm not a doctor, but,
yeah.
I think there's different ways that you can end up with this injury.
I've got a few theories on it, but my main one is, I can remember the Eubank-Watson fight, right?
Yeah.
And for me, it was the most... It was so exciting, that fight.
It was.
Until the end.
Mm.
Which was... When I saw Watson staggering, and it was just horrendous, and that never left me, and
what were you saying? Wear head guards like in amateur fights, or
here's what I say, and it's pretty brutal, I suppose. Mm. I suppose it is. I think boxers know what they're getting themselves into when they go into boxing,
without doubt.
And you take it up. There's the risks you've got to take.
Mm. Getting in a Formula One car.
Absolutely. If they would not change it for the world. By the way, these boxers know what they're getting themselves in. Okay, it's like smokers. Okay?
Mm.
It's like a smoker.
Mm-hmm.
It's got on the packet people dying in front of
them. Yeah.
They still buy them.
Mm.
Why? Because they know what they're getting themselves in for, and they take that risk. And I think it's the same with boxing.
Yeah. No, I think you're right.
Do you know what I mean?
You should be. But what about stopping fights earlier? Okay, so there's certain fights that is a 3-knockdown rule.
Yeah.
So if you get knocked down, that's the end of the fight. They've won it. What about changing that to 2 knockdowns or 1 knockdown? I don't know. I'm just trying to think. Is there any way that there's a certain the amount of times? Okay.
Yeah,
How about this? If you've got hit in the head a certain amount of times, you've lost. It's a bit like, when we see the karate and the taekwondo and stuff like that, they have to score a certain amount of points.
I'll tell you what, you ask any boxer, they wouldn't have that. They don't want that. They don't want the rules changing. Look, for every casualty that there is, unfortunately, of course, there are millions and millions of boxing fights, and nothing happens.
Agreed.
It's one of those things that's... It could happen.
Yeah.
It could happen. And then
do you think that with a namby-pamby state that we keep going on about,
God,
this is a bit more serious, but do you think that they will eventually put something in to stop it?
Yes, I do.
Do you really?
Namby-pamby, innit?
So that eventually we won't have boxing?
I think eventually it won't. I think eventually in about 100 years' time, they're going to say, do you know what? There used to be a sport called boxing.
This is Love Sport.
I've got something for you, John. This, you come into your own when things like this come along. It's a wonderful story. Greg's Bakers. Mm. Greg's, one of your favourite places.
Yeah.
You've got a season ticket there.
Do you know what? This is the gospel honest truth.
You liar.
Never been in one.
Stop off. You love it there.
I've never been.
It's a wonderful place.
Is it?
Of course it is.
I've never been there.
Ah, I'm not.
No. I'm not really a fan. I've never been a fan of Bakers.
Have you not?
No, like when you walk in... No.
Apple turnover?
No, not a fan.
Cornish pasty?
No. I love Cornish pasty.
Yeah, there you go. Greg's secret menu.
Right.
There's this new... It's come out. Greg's have got a secret menu.
Yeah.
Shall I tell you what's in it?
Go on, then.
I'm not going to. It's a secret. Just leave it there.
Typical.
We're joined by Helen Natman now, Digital Deputy Consumer Editor of The Sun. Just tell us a little bit more about our afternoon, first of all, Helen.
Afternoon. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much. You've made me very hungry already, Helen. I'm reading this.
Yeah. Just tell us, give us half a clue as to what's going on here.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So this is an interesting one and a good topic, given we're coming up for lunchtime.
Yeah.
So what we found out is that Greg's has got 23 menu items. That these are part of its so-called secret menu. So you can only get these items in certain areas of the country.
Really?
So it all depends on where you live, yes. And it kind of dates back to traditionally where these items were baked or made, and they're sort of local favourites, essentially.
Do you know what? I've just looked at this, actually, because when I was a kid, my mum used to get me corned beef. Right.
I love corned beef.
So you like corned beef, right?
I love it.
I don't think I've seen it for years, and I've just spotted this. Greg's are doing corned beef, but only in West and North East, Leeds and Wales.
Wow.
Right. And so there's different bits. Obviously, savoury mince pie is only in the northeast. An apple Danish, which I think I just come up with, which I love, is southeast, Scotland and the west. Why have they divided it up? Is it for different taste buds of different areas?
Yeah, exactly. So it's where these items were first made. So, for example, when you take the Tottenham cake, legend has it, and we don't know if this is true, but this is the story behind it, that Tottenham cake was first made in Tottenham, in London, by a Quaker who used to want to give treats to the poor children in the local area in the 1800s. And in the Quaker burial yard, there is apparently this mulberry tree, and he used the berries to create this pink icing that you now see on Tottenham cake.
Right. And he must, if it was from Tottenham, he must be a moaner. He must moan about the coming season.
And, well, this cake is now only available in Greg's stores in the southeast, because I guess this is where it came from.
Yeah.
And the same goes with these products, which I had never heard of until yesterday, called Stotties, and hopefully I'm pronouncing it right. Yeah. And these are from an area in Newcastle, and it's a type of spongy, sort of doughy, flat roll. And you can only get these in Greg's in the northeast, and you sort of fill them with peas pudding, apparently, is something that
peas
you put
pudding
in it, and ham and cheese. Yeah, so it's kind of like a sandwich.
What's the weirdest thing on the menu?
I have to say, the Stotty was the one I had never heard of.
No, I've really never heard of that either.
Befuddled by that one.
But this goes to a bit like we had a guy on the show who was the king of fish and chips. He won fish and chips in Yorkshire, and he's won the best fish and chips. I think he's won it 2 years on the trot. And it goes to, I was actually talking about this 2 nights ago. And they, so people in Yorkshire will have curry sauce on their chips, and they will have different bits and pieces. Whereas in the south, we have jelly deals, and we have, you know, and they can't...
Was that only in the south, jelly deals?
Well, that's what I'm saying. He couldn't imagine eating that. So
no.
I can see that, you know, listen, black pudding is more for your...
I love it.
For your northern... I know, you love everything.
I do.
Right?
Love everything.
But it's all more for the... So is this what it's based on? It's based on...
Sorry, Helen, we're forgetting you there. We're leaving out of the conversation. What is a Scotch pie?
Good question. It's sort of like a meat pie. It kind of looks a bit like a pork pie.
Got haggis in it? Got haggis in it, surely.
I have to say, I don't know if there's haggis in it.
I love that. I love haggis.
So. Yeah, there's another really interesting one that's only in Scotland and the North East, and that's something called an Empire Biscuit, and that's another one I'd never heard of before.
Never heard
of
it.
And that's sort of two biscuits sandwiched together with jam in between and then icing on top.
Wow.
That sounds good. That sounds very good, doesn't it?
Do you know what I found strange? I was doing a tour in last summer or the summer before in Scotland, and I was in Bearness, very strange little place.
Yeah, Bearness, near Edinburgh, Bearness, isn't it?
Yes,
yeah.
It is.
Yeah,
it's a power station there. It's a strange old place. And I had square sausage.
That's right.
Seen that, Helen?
Yeah, absolutely.
Square sausage.
Yes. I have, because we noticed for the first time that Aldi has started selling these recently. Mm. And I mean, traditionally, it's from Scotland, it's a northern product. And now there's sort of like this appeal for it nationwide, and Aldi's sort of bringing it into its supermarkets. And I think a lot of people have taken inspiration, because it's a bit like a sort of, you know, those... you know, McDonald's sells those breakfast McMuffins with the flattened patties.
Fantastic.
It's kind of like people want to create that at home.
Wow. There you go. Listen, how do you order off of the secret menu?
Yeah.
So there's no actual secret code or secret word or anything like that you need to say. You just need to be in one of these stores, in one of these areas that sells these items. So
Helen, I can't walk in and say... Is Greg about? Is Greg here? And they say, no, listen, what do you mean? I go, it's like a secret code.
Yeah.
Is Greg about?
Greg.
And they go, you want the secret menu, don't you? He's out the back.
Don't worry, it's nothing as strange or as sinister as that. You literally should be able to look in and look at the counter, and they should be laid out for you, depending on where you are in the country. So you just need to keep an eye on it.
I'm wondering if other bakers will start doing it. Whether Percy Ingles, you have to go in and say, is Percy in?
So, in, So, Helen, in Essex, where we are, so, for example, I'm in kind of near Romford, so if I go into a Greggs, that's the southeast, isn't it? We're in the southeast. Mm. So what would I expect in on the secret menu in Romford?
Yeah, so in the south and the southeast, one thing you should be able to get is something called the London cheesecake.
Right.
Which is something I never heard of before. It looks a bit like a pasty with what looks like cheese grated on top, but actually it's sweet. It's filled with jam and sort of almond sauce. So that's an interesting one you can get.
Yeah, I'm not an almond fan, I'll be honest. I'm not an almond fan.
No, that's strange, isn't it? You found something that's edible almonds, that you're not a fan of.
Almonds I'm not a fan of. Okay. Not a fan of. Or walnuts.
Do you not think that the one in Romford, it will sort of have like a bigger crust and it'll be like browner. It'll be like more tanned.
Browner?
And
browner?
The lips will be bigger.
You'll add a bit of Botox to it. Yeah.
I mean, if that doesn't take your fancy, you can go a bit more traditional. They should have bread pudding as well. That's something that you can only get in the south.
My auntie June makes a lovely bread pudding.
Why doesn't she go and work at Greg's then?
She should do. Because I'll tell you something, she makes beautiful bread pudding.
Well, let's get round there later.
And you have to put it pudding, not pudding.
Oh, yeah. Helen, listen, it's a fascinating one. In fact, we're going to go in Greg's.
I'm starving
And just
now.
Go, secret menu. And there'd be a woman behind there, Doreen. She'll be working behind there with a little hat
Doreen,
on.
Doreen, yeah, Doreen.
With you know, those little nets in their hair. And she'll be saying, I don't know what you're talking about, love. It's quite strange.
Thank you, Helen.
Helen, are you enjoying the heat wave?
I am indeed, although our office is freezing. It's going from one extreme to another.
You sound like my co-worker here, Bill. Yeah. What's he? What are you talking about,
Too
Helen?
Much
aircon. Lovely aircon. It's hot out there.
I can't wait to get out in that sun.
Switching on that train. Oh,
there you go. Listen, thanks ever so much for joining us, Helen. Really appreciate it.
Well, I don't appreciate it. I'm starving now. Starving. I've got another hour and a quarter on air.
There you go. Helen Knapman there, Digital Deputy Consumer Editor for The Sun.
There you go.
It's lovely, isn't it? Being able to work for The Sun. In the sun.
In the sun.
In the sun.
And I'd be hungry all the time.
Yeah, you certainly would. Listen, 58 for 7.
Oh, dear.
58 for 7 at the moment. It's embarrassing. England against Ireland. Obviously, we won the World Cup and we're coming up to the Ashes. This is the build-up to the Ashes, which starts next Thursday.
Up from the Ashes, grow the roses of success.
What is he doing? Why are you doing that?
From Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Oh, do you always reference Chitty Chitty? Do you watch it every night or something?
No, I just up from the... Every time you mention the Ashes, I think of Up from the Ashes.
It's incredible.
Grow the roses of success.
By the way, I think we may have just lost another wicket, which has gone to... he's given him. It's 58 for 8.
Oh, that's not good.
This is bad.
Yeah.
This is bad. Kieran Critchard is coming in now.
Sit down, Kieran.
He's shaking his head.
He's shaking, in fact.
He's got gritted teeth, and he's clenching his fists.
Come on, Kieran. Come on, cricket.
Come on, cricket, Critchard. Ladies and gentlemen, round of applause for Cricket Critchard.
Cricket Critchard.
That's his new name. Cricket Critchard. What do you think of that, cricket?
Just absolutely appalling.
I can't even make him laugh for that.
It really is an utter shambles. That's all I can say. Stuart Broad now out again. Yet more flaky batting from Stuart Broad. They did review it. The Irish felt that he had got an edge. It was given not out by Alim Dar, but as Snicko proved, it did have a slight edge on the bat, and therefore he was given out, and England are 8 down.
Have you ever seen anything as bad as this cricket?
Well, we were discussing this at the beginning of 2018. England got bowled out for 58 against New Zealand, and that was pretty bad. But let's put that into some context. That's against a good established bowling attack, some of the best bowlers in world cricket. No disrespect, this is Ireland. Ireland, who've played 2 test matches before this. And England,
I mean,
58 for 8.
Three of the Irish players are welders. 2 are carpet fitters. I mean, what?
And Tim Murtagh's not even Irish. I don't think we can complain about that. One works for Greggs. Yeah,
one works for Greggs.
No, he knows the secret menu and everything.
Where's Ben Stokes when you need him?
They're being rested, and I can completely understand that. I know people will say, why isn't Ben Stokes playing? Why isn't Joss Butler playing? But they've just come off the back of a grueling, not just physically, but mentally as well, 6-week period during the World Cup. and reaching the pinnacle of that, that would have been draining. So ahead of an Ashes series, you have to prioritise that. Obviously, they couldn't have foreseen what would have happened today, but they're being rightly rested. Nevertheless, even though those guys aren't playing and they're obviously key players for England, England still shouldn't be anywhere near the shambolic chaos that is that they're currently in.
I mean, in the when we come to bowl, what's going to happen? Which could be, like you say, within the next hour.
Well, I mean, they'll probably be going off for lunch soon, so they'll be at least delighted to stuff some food in their face to drown their sorrows. But you would like to think that when England do come out to bowl, they will be able to get as much, if not more, out of the surface than Ireland. But suddenly, you talk about momentum in cricket, that Ireland have all the momentum. So it'll be interesting to see how kind of psychologically Ireland approach it, having come off what would have been the most amazing morning that any of those guys have ever experienced. You've just potentially bowled England out for 60 or 70 on the opening day at Lord's.
I think we've just hit a four with a bit of luck.
It's not looking particularly elegant at the moment. It's hardly hardly cover drives through for four, is it? It's,
no. In fact, it wasn't a four. That's how bad it was.
just two. So it's not.
I mean, for eight,
Sam Curran has at least shown a bit of intent and a bit of positivity and actually be able to score some runs. I mean, he's only faced about 12 balls, and on 14, he's already England's second highest run scorer in the innings. That tells you everything.
Kieran, we're going to have to go to a break now, but in Spanish, please say, England are absolutely rubbish at cricket.
El equipo de Inglaterra en el mundo de cricket es muy terrible.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You are back with Bell and Sperling. Just have to tell you, it's an absolute disaster. 85 all out England against Ireland. I mean, it's embarrassing, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I just, you know, look, we've just won the World Cup. Okay, I know it's a different format. And listen, we've grown to love the ODI because, you know, love the outfits, right?
Very colourful.
It's very colourful.
Yeah.
Love the white ball. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And it's exciting. We've gone to a test match and we've forgotten how to play. We've forgotten how to guard the wicket. We've forgotten what we're doing. It's embarrassing. 85 all out first innings.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
It's not good.
Against Ireland. And we've had Cricket Critchard in here. He's absolutely devastated. I've never seen a young Cricket Critchard.
He's a young man. He shouldn't be upset like that.
It's terrible, isn't it? John, listen. Now, you know about my situation in the kitchen.
Yes. Well, you haven't really got a situation in the kitchen because you...
I'm terrible.
You're terrible. Yeah.
I'm awful, and I had a really, really bad accident.
It's one thing I'm better than you at.
You are.
Cooking.
You're better at cooking than me.
Yeah.
I had a really bad accident in February, which you know I ended up in hospital, which I will reference in a minute. Burnt my feet. Terrible, terrible situation. But there's a lot of situations that do go wrong in the kitchen. That's why I sort of steer away from it. 15 electrical fires every day. It's pretty bad. And we are now joined on the line by TV chef. And you love her, didn't you, John?
I think she's great, yeah.
Fancy. Rosemary Schrager joins us now. And also Phil Buckle, Electrical Safety First. Afternoon to you both.
Hello.
listen, just tell us what this is all about. Because, like I just said, 15 electrical fires every day.
Yeah.
Well, what we did is we had an awareness that misuse of electrical equipment was a problem across the UK. So we undertook this research to see what actually was happening in our kitchens at home. And as you said, there's 15 fires per day caused by the misuse of electrical appliances. So it was timely, we thought, to get out there, get a message across to people. Don't be complacent in your homes, particularly in your kitchens.
Yeah.
And look after yourself and use your appliances correctly and avoid mishaps that can occur.
Right. I mean, obviously, the electrical fires has got is not to do with the cooking, but give us an example of what can go wrong in the kitchen with electrical appliances.
Well, you know, the classic one is the toaster with the knife in it. You know, it gets blocked up in the morning. Your head's fuzzy because you've just got up and you're trying to get out of the house to go to work or take the kids to school. And you think, oh, grab the nearest thing, and it's a knife, it's metal. You don't switch the toaster off. And even if you did switch the toaster off, you can do some quite bad damage to the toaster by sticking a knife in it. And it's something to be avoided. Another one is putting lots of stuff on the microwave, using it as an additional shelf in the kitchen. And it can seriously overheat because if you're blocking the air vents up, there can be all sorts of problems caused, both damaging the microwave and potentially causing a fire.
Yeah. Now, Rosemary, what have you got involved with this? I mean,
what have you set fire to lately, Rosemary?
What have you done, Rosemary?
I tell you something, I've done all of those things. What I do is I get a fork in my toaster and I flip it out and it goes somewhere else in the kitchen.
Oh, dearie me.
That's what I do. I have to tell you, all those things above that he said, that's me.
Really?
And what the thing is, what was so funny was, in my cookery school, I have to be squeaky clean. I have to be absolutely on top, above board, with health and safety, having a packed checked and everything else.
Yeah,
you know,
tested,
all the appliances and the ovens and the things that move as well, everything. All perfect condition. But when it comes to my own home, I'm a disaster. I have wires all over the place. I have plugs on plugs. I was shocked.
Oh, dear,
I live in a complete fire hazard.
I think you need to get Phil round your house, don't you? Phil's got to get round there.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, I'm worse than anybody else. In fact, I'm probably worse than normal people. I mean, it's frightening. So when they asked me if I'd be involved in this, I didn't hesitate.
No. Has it made you more aware now? Of course it
has. Oh, my God, completely.
Yeah.
I swear, I am totally on top of it all.
Do you know, you just mentioned something, because myself and Johnny Sperling here, we sing for a living a lot of the time, and our roadies have to go and take stuff to the various gigs, and everything now has to be PAT tested, doesn't it? You have to have certificates every year. And so,
everything that moves. Everything that moves has to be PAT tested.
Do you think that the normal people at home will start having to have everything PAT tested every year?
Yeah, but the problem is, okay, look, let's be logistical here.
Yeah.
Logistical. Let's be that actually people can't start going to have everything PAT checked.
Of course.
But What you can do, now I'm going to be bossy, you see. What you can do is you can actually, if you've got something old, you can check it yourself and have a look. Well, is it working properly? Is the plug okay? Is the wah, like my wah was, done up with a little bit of plaster? So yeah. If you show a bit of wah, it's a bit frayed, I'd actually put a plaster over it and make it better.
That'd make it better. Put a bit of germaline round it.
Yeah, exactly. And the problem is, you can't do that. So I would say to anybody, you must have things. If you think you're a bit worried, then have it checked. Go to an electrician. You can get these shops. They're still available. There's still shops that can do that to actually help.
I'm going to take Johnny Sperling here to the shop. He's a bit old and a bit tired.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Oh, that's okay. Well, you can go on to the Electrical Safety First .org.uk and actually have a check yourself to see whether you're overloading. I mean, how many Christmas trees, this is serious actually, how many Christmas trees do they go on fire because of the dodgy wiring?
Yes.
Also, buying a second-hand fridge, that is terrifying. Yeah. I mean, we all know the story of what happened with a fridge and things. And,
how people can die. Goodness,
and it's horribly frightening. This is the first time that anybody has actually shouted about this.
Right.
And the thing about this, actually, you two, is Electrical Safety First is a charity. It's paramount. It is a charity first. And it's helping and making the public aware how dangerous And me included, if I was, you know, me being a chef doesn't make any difference. We don't think about our own lives and our own safety or other people's safety.
Yeah.
And this is the problem. This is the problem.
You just mentioned about the fridge freezers, Rosemary. I just wanted to ask Phil, just on fridge freezers and microwaves and stuff like that, it is the fact that you need the vent, or it needs to be, there needs to be an opening for them, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's right. On any electrical appliance with a motor, it's got to draw in air to keep it cool, and it'll have filters to stop the machine getting clogged up. So those filters are usually removable. You can clean them, vacuum them out. If you've got pets, it tends to suck the molting hair in, you know, particularly on a fridge freezer.
Ah.
It pulls it in. So get the cover off, follow the manufacturer's instruction, give it a clean. Because if you do that, you'll prolong the life of the machine anyway, because it'll operate at its required temperatures. But you'll remove a large risk of it potentially overheating and catching fire potentially, which is something that you just don't want to happen.
Yeah.
It's the same, you know, if you're using washing machines or tumble dryers in the home, don't leave them running while you're not there, and particularly don't leave them running when you're going to bed, because, you know, if there was a fire, you're in bed asleep, it limits your chances of getting out of the house.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And
we want to avoid those sort of scenarios happening.
We certainly
It's to raise awareness and educate the public.
Yes.
This is what it's all about.
Yes, absolutely, Rosemary. All right. Listen, we'll let you go now, but you've got 30 seconds, right? Rosemary, we had the hairy bikers on about 6 months ago.
And on our show,
I'd like to ask you, in 30 seconds or so, best way to cook scrambled eggs.
Oh, easy peasy. Melt some butter in a pan, very gentle, on a lowish heat. Just use whisk some eggs, just use eggs. Don't add any cream, water or milk to it. Leave it normal.
Really?
Slowly on a heat, backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards, so it's nice and creamy. Season it with salt, not too much pepper, and then gradually then just take it off while it's still creamy and put it on some...
That's it. Yeah, that's it. You've got it.
Stay safe.
Have I got it? Have I won?
You went... The Hairy Bark has added some Parmesan cheese and stuff, but you...
Oh, forget that.
No, you've got it. You've got it, Rosemary. That's the one for me.
Wonderful. I always knew I had it.
You certainly have. Listen, thanks for coming on the Bell and Spurling show. Stay safe, the pair of you.
Thank you.
Rosemary, I can't believe
and
you.
And don't forget to go on electricalsafetyfirst.org.uk, please.
Exactly. Electricalsafetyfirst.org.uk. Well done. And we'll put it on the website as well. Rosemary Schrager there, TV chef, and Phil Buckle, Electrical Safety First.
There we are.
Seriously, you like the scrambled egg?
Scrambled eggs are my favourite. I mean,
butter.
They really are. And that's exactly... I'll be honest with you. I did try it at the Hairy Bikers recipe.
Mm. But you haven't got a bike, have you?
I haven't got a bike, for starters. Mm. And that's exactly how my mum makes them, the way Rosemary just said.
But
the butter's so important.
Before we have a go, just to reference... 85 all out England. Yeah. It's an absolute embarrassment. And it's Ireland cannot believe their luck. They must have thought they've turned up and they're going to play against me and Johnny. It's embarrassing. Just very quickly tell you, because we just have Rosemary on there, and it was mishaps that go wrong in the kitchen, mainly electrical. But we did do this thing in February. I told you that Ronnie O'Sullivan's dad has got involved in this.
That's right.
It's called Chugga Tea, which a lot of celebrities are drinking this Chugga Tea.
Yeah.
Okay, and it is a sort of herbal.
But hopefully a lot of them don't do what you did.
And hopefully they don't do what I did. Okay, but it's a herbal tea. Tea, and it is really good. I know quite a few people drinking it now.
Mm.
And Ronnie said to me, you've got to boil up the stuff, or whatever it is, and you boil it up in the pot. He showed me how to do it. I went home. I'm terrible in a kitchen. Shouldn't be anywhere near a kitchen, okay? And I started boiling up this stuff in the pot.
Yeah.
And I'd obviously put it in the wrong pot. I don't know what pot it goes in.
No.
I'm just no good at it. And I started seeing the pot leak out the bottom, and I thought, hmm. I'm standing staring at it for about 15 minutes while it's leaking all over the top of the hob. And I thought, I know what I'm going to do. I'll lift that pot and I'll put it through a sieve in the sink.
Yeah.
So I lift it over. It's about 4 foot from the, you know, from the hob across to the kitchen, across the sink.
Yes.
And as I lifted that pot, okay.
It fell through, didn't it?
The bottom of the pot fell out. Onto my feet where I had socks on, and I scalded my feet. So I was in hospital that night, And if I don't know where we can do this on a website, but I will put a picture up of my foot.
Oh, no, don't do that.
With no skin on it.
Oh, it's horrible.
And that is why.
Yes.
I do not go anywhere near a kitchen.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
Do you think that Love Island is fake? Okay, let me put it a different way, John, right? Okay, we had Marvin on our show last
week. Nice fella.
Lovely fella.
Nice fella.
Came in and sat with us for half hour and told us all about Love Island.
Yes.
And I said to him, why do we not see conversations where you are not talking about what you do for a living, what you do personally, talking about your family, stuff like that? And he said, well, we talk about that all day long. However,
yes,
once we finish talking about that, that's when they say, right, we're going to do the filming now. And you only see the filming about the relationships. So whenever you watch Love Island, it's all about, yeah, well, she said to me, and it's all about within the house. You never get to know their personal stories. And what I didn't like about it, well, I knew this was happening anyway, was that producers tell you two to sit there, camera will pan over there.
You honestly didn't think, you didn't know that, did you?
I did know that in my own, but I hadn't had it confirmed. And the fact that Marvin said, and then sometimes it'll get repeated, say, sorry, we didn't catch what you said.
Yeah, of course it will.
You say a bit more clearly.
Yes.
And then you two go and sit there.
Yes.
And then that's the hour that we see.
That's right.
And it's staged, okay?
Of course it's staged.
I've come home.
Yes.
And I've told my wife.
Yes.
And I've told my daughter.
Yes.
And my son.
Yes. Who else?
I've told those.
Call the next door neighbour and tell
I've told them, but they don't like us.
Right.
And I've said, no, they do like us, actually. it's just every time the ball goes over the fence, they won't throw it back.
Right.
And I've said to them, look, this is what happens.
Yeah.
And they still watch it and they still believe it.
Yeah, of course they do, because they don't want to believe that it's fake and they want to... Listen, okay, look. How can I put this? It's a reality TV show where, yes, it's fake, but people like to buy into it and go along with the ride. Which, okay, if that's entertainment to you, fine. I'm not against
it. It's the same. I've told you this. It's the same with X Factor. It's the same with Britain's Got Talent. Okay?
But at least...
One of our roadies that works with us, Charlie. Charlie's good little singer, good guitarist.
Yeah.
Went and did an X
Charlie's
Factor.
Charlie's lovely. Yeah,
he's good. He's a good boy. Yeah. And he went there and they said, listen... You're decent.
Yeah. But as your grandma just died or something like that.
Anyone dying in the family. well, my dad's, my dad's had an ingrown toenail. Let's get him off. No, we'll have it. Has he gone gangrene? You know? Is he likely to lose his toe? They just dramatise it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay? And the terrible thing was Charlie had to do all this stuff. He went back about three or four times.
Yeah.
And then they said, you're going to be in front of Simon Cowell. You're going to do all the other bits. And they're really palling him up. You're fantastic. They're going to love you. They've done the filming of him walking in with his dad. His dad's a drummer.
Right.
Blah, 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 blah. Gets on the stage and the panel absolutely annihilate him.
Oh, but he's good.
Doesn't matter. They built him up. These producers built him up for him to be annihilated. Do you know that Charlie won't perform anymore from that?
It must have.
It's good for us because we've still got him as a roadie. but he won't. He doesn't want to do it.
I'll tell you a little story. I think you'll remember. Many years ago, when I had a record out, just after my band split up, my dad put some money in for me to make a record.
Yeah.
The Sun got hold of it.
Yeah, she was in The Sun. I remember.
The Sun got hold of it. And it was a big thing. He's paid for a 16-piece orchestra. It was rubbish.
Yeah.
Anyway, so a couple of years later, the Evening Standard did a story of, where I was.
Yeah, where you are.
Where
now.
I am now, basically. Yeah. And I was singing in a pub in Bethnal Green.
Mm.
And the paper came down, and it wasn't particularly, not many, but about four people in there.
Mm.
I did my set, and I chucked on a bit of weight.
Mm.
And the Evening Standard basically killed me, annihilated me.
Yeah. But they were nice to you when they were doing the interview.
Oh, lovely to me when I was doing the interview. But then annihilated me in the Evening Standard. You know, look, where are you? Look, how much weight he's put on, and he's sitting in a pub to four people. And it was embarrassing.
What did you say? They were lucky. Last week there was only two of them.
I must tell you this. My dad, bless his heart, was He's a bit like one of these dads who thinks that all publicity is good publicity, and anything you take to say to anybody. And he basically said to him, "My son's better than Elton John." Now,
right,
you can imagine what my mates were calling me for about 6 months.
All right, Elton. How are you doing, Rocket Man?
I had all that. Thanks, Dad. Thank you very much for that. You know, they jumped at that one, didn't they? My son's better than Johnny seen in Bethnal Green and four people.
What'd you say? I'm still standing.
So, anyway, because of that, okay, I'll jump to the end. The Word, which was a programme at the time.
Yeah, on Channel 4.
The Word, Channel 4. Thought this was a good story.
I saw you on that show.
Yes, you did. But what they did to me, what the Word did, they decided to put a little thing around me called the Three Johnnies.
Yes.
Now, I was a real Johnny, but the other two weren't called Johnny. They just called them Johnny.
Fake Johnnies.
Fake Johnnies.
Yeah.
One of them was about 76 years old who ate oranges. Okay? He ate oranges, Bell.
Yeah.
That's all he did.
Yeah.
It's me oranges. I remember talking to him about half an hour about oranges. He stank of oranges.
Yeah, I bet he did.
And he went on, and basically all he did... He
worked for the man from Del Monte,
He went on and he did these... He was like a... With the muscles, you know.
Yes.
With the muscles popping out. And the other fellow was a piano player from 1935. And I'll never forget, at the end of it, I'll never forget him sitting there, some fat like that, and he was telling me a story about how he burnt some house down. I was like, oh, my God, was he telling me that?
Yeah.
And he said, why don't you stay with me? Stay with me in my room.
Yeah.
We'll get absolutely larruped. Come on. Right. Oh, my God. Anyway, so there was him. At the end of the show, the 76-year-old orange-eating eater won it.
Yeah.
I came last. Right? There was some rapper on with, what was his name? He used to do it?
Yeah.
You know, Manchester M.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, the presenter.
Yeah.
He was on there, and this rapper said, I thought the singer was terrible.
Oh, no.
I got absolutely annihilated.
Yeah.
And the worst bit was that the producers came around my house to film me looking through like albums and stuff. And
to make you think you're on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just...
This is what I'm saying.
You see?
Producers set people up.
They set me up.
To annihilate you.
Yeah.
And they're your best mates.
Yes. It was all going to be great.
Got your number.
It's going to be all about you. And at the end of the night, I was...
Want to give up?
Wanted to give up.
And this is what is I'm telling you.
Yeah.
All these shows, it's when it's called reality shows.
Yeah.
It's not a reality show.
No.
Because it's not real.
No.
It's producers.
Producers
coming up with stuff, coming up with ideas to make people look good, then to shoot them down.
Yes.
To make them look silly.
Yes.
And this is why we're having so much trouble with some of this.
It's no different. Have you ever seen The Elephant Man? So how the Elephant Man started was he was a spectacle.
He wasn't on The Word with you, was he?
No, he was not, man.
Right.
But he was a spectacle.
Yeah.
So the fella had him, he was in a cage.
Yeah.
We've gone no further since then.
Yeah, you're probably right, yeah.
It's the same thing.
I mean, these are good-looking elephant men in Love Island House.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
You know? But it's... this is what I'm saying. It is fake.
Yeah.
And even though I've told my family it's fake...
Yes.
They still watch it.
Of course they do. Of course they do.
They're buying into it. They're going, oh, look at what he said to her. I mean, there's this big story last night about, like we said, the 22-year-old guy is in there and he's with Anna.
Right. I've not got a clue what you're talking about, but yeah.
Okay, but he's with her and he's said, you're my girlfriend.
Yes.
And they're the really nice couple. Everything's going great.
Yeah.
And there's a new girl coming and he's gone...
Hello.
Hello. Hello, Tiger.
But he's been told to say hello, Tiger.
I think he has been told to say
yes.
Hello, Tiger. And now, and I can hear my wife last night. Mm. I can hear her. She's bought into it.
Of course.
Right? So he's with this Anna, and he's saying to her, look, you know, I mean, it's not always fun talking to you. And my wife's going, he's blaming her now. he's making it out it's her fault.
Yes, she's enjoying herself.
And I said,
she's buying into it.
I said to my
it's like
wife,
a soap.
What are you doing? This is not real.
It's a soap. It's a kind of stimulants.
The terrible thing about this, John, and the reason why I've brought this up is They're talking about Love Island being on twice a year. There's going to be a winter one. What are we doing? You know, are we not? Have we not had enough of it?
Yes. But look, no, I can't say I've had enough of it because I don't watch it.
Yeah, it's just
it's as simple as that.
Love Sport Radio, the station giving fans a voice.
You've been listening to Ben and Sperling. We will sign out. Thank you very much.